This morning, if you have your Bible, we're going to be several different places. You can look in Hebrews 4:12, which is where we'll start. And we're beginning a new series this morning entitled, I Believe. And we're going to look at six essential truths about what the Bible teaches us about our faith. Now, there's a couple of different ways I've heard series like this done before. One is, let's talk about what we believe and all of the reasons why we believe it. Let's talk about A, B, C, and D. Let's talk about all of these breakdown verse by verse and try to get a grasp on all of these different things. And those are great studies for, say, Sunday school, maybe even Wednesday night or Bible study type times. What I want to do is look at six essential truths of what we believe and what that means for us, how to live that out. We're going to look at six different truths, starting this morning with this statement, I believe the Bible is God's Word. What does that mean if I believe that? What does that do different? I believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. Then we're going to talk about, I believe God alone is eternally perfect. We'll take a short break in there because it's Mother's Day and we'll have a message honoring mothers. I believe that mothers should be honored. Amen. That's not part of our series, but I think it's a good thing to think about. Then we'll continue. I believe that man is created in God's image. I believe the church exists to serve. And I believe Jesus will return again. By the way, these six statements sum up our statement of beliefs that you'll find in our Constitution, that you'll find posted at various places around our church. These six statements kind of encompass all of it together. But my question is, not just why do we believe it, we'll look at that, but what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me as a Christian, me as a person who doesn't care about the Bible, me as a person who's just trying to get through life? What does that mean for each one of us individually? I want you to turn with me in Hebrews chapter 4 and read with me verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 4 because we'll be coming back there. But this is our theme verse. The Word of God, the Bible, is living and effective. I believe this morning, the statement I want us to cling to, I believe the Bible is God's Word. What do we mean when we say, I believe the Bible is God's Word? When we talk about someone's Word, we talk about trustworthiness, don't we? Some of you all have a good reputation, and when you speak, we can take your word as truth. Others of you have poor reputations, and we won't name names, point fingers, or look side to side. But when you hear certain people talk, you just know that it's 50-50 on their facts. We have family members this way. They're not sitting in here, so I can talk about them. It's okay. We have family members this way that we tease all the time. When they start telling a story, we know there's some truth to it, but we also know there's a great deal of elaboration behind it. Their word is maybe not as strong as someone else who always speaks the truth. When we say the Bible is God's Word, I believe the Bible is God's Word, that is saying I believe that the Bible is recorded as God's message, and since I trust God, I trust the Bible. Since I trust God, I trust the Bible. Really, what I want you to write down in your first blanks, if you're following along in the bulletin, is the Bible is real and relevant. That really sums up what we believe about Scripture. The Bible is real, it is true, it is absolute truth, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and it is relevant. It matters today. It's important to us right here and right now. What does that then mean for us? Well, this morning we're going to look at three truths about the Bible and apply them to our everyday lives, figure out what it means and how we are to react. And the first thing we need to recognize, if the Bible is real, that means the Bible is absolute truth. The Bible is absolute truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says this: "The eternity of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments endure forever." The Bible is absolute truth. As I was growing up, I heard a statement that was often preached from my pastor, often taught to me by my Sunday school department. I've heard many other people say it. I'm sure I have said it as well. And that is, in your faith, you must hold on to what you believe. Have you heard that statement or something similar to that? Hold fast to what you believe. Does that sound like a pretty good statement to you? How many of you all have heard that or taught something similar to that? Hold tight to what you believe. Can I offend you for a second? I'm going to tell you not to cling to that statement. Hold tight to what you believe. I think it's a good idea and a good thought, but let me tell you, sometimes what I believe is not the truth. Instead, let's talk about this. Let's hold tight to what God's Word tells us to believe. You know, the Bible is the only source of absolute truth. And there are times you and I have preconceived beliefs and thoughts and notions. Our experiences shape what we believe. Our own interpretations shape what we believe. But there is only one source of absolute truth. Hold fast then to what the Bible teaches is true. Yeah, I know this is hard for some of you all to believe, but there are some times when your pastor has been wrong before. Did you know that? Every once in a while, it happens. I hate this illustration, but it just is so perfect that I use it often. When Hannah and I were first married, we were out and about, and we decided we were going to stop by the grocery store. And I told her we need to pick up, or she said we need to pick up more waffles. We're out of waffles. And I said, no, I'm sure there are waffles in the freezer. I just ate a waffle this morning. There's a whole box of waffles in the freezer. Now, I know, because your pastor is very smart, that if I reached in the freezer and took a waffle out, I saw the box this morning, that there's a box of waffles in the freezer. And so I'm telling her with absolute certainty that I'm right, because obviously I am, right? Husbands, can you back me up on this? How many times has your wife tried to tell you you need something only for you to say, I know it's in there? And so we went back and forth and back and forth. The waffles are not in there. And Hannah said, they're not. And I said, they are. They're absolutely there. I grabbed one this morning. Well, because I know I'm right, and by the way, of course I'm right, I tell her we're not picking up waffles. When we get home, I'm going to walk into our apartment, walk to our freezer, open up the freezer door and show you the box of waffles that are in there. Okay, and then it will all be clear. And so we get home and we walk into our apartment and I open up the freezer, and sure enough, it doesn't matter whether the waffles were in there or not. That's not important. What's important is that one of us was absolutely right and one of us was absolutely wrong, right? That's what's important. One of us had it right and one of us was mistaken. You know, in our own lives, we need to realize that sometimes we can be mistaken. Sometimes we can fall short of truth. Sometimes we can get things wrong. But the Word of God never gets it wrong. The Bible is absolutely 100% of the time. You know, it's funny that there are people who try to pick apart Scripture. You know, the more archaeologists uncover about different historical sites, the more information they find to back up the historical accuracy of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Does that surprise you? Did you know that as they start looking around different ancient cultures, all over the world they find a similar story, one that almost every ancient group of people has some version of, that there was this worldwide flood. Now, the people in South America have this story. The people in the ancient Near East around Israel obviously have this story. Even the people as far east as China have a similar story. People who have not come into contact with each other for thousands of years have this same story. Do you think it's strange that they all would have this same teaching? You know, it's funny. It's almost as if this flood actually happened, and then all of those people who went through the flood or right after the flood dispersed all over the world of some sort. Isn't that kind of strange? Isn't that kind of weird? What does that tell us? History backs up the truth of the Bible. As people start digging into the Word of God, what they find is not that it is inaccurate or it has more inconsistencies. But what they find are the things they believe to be inconsistent turn out to be true. The Bible teaches absolute truth. There is no better place to get the right answer than the Word of God. That's what we mean when we say the Bible is real. It is not something made up. It is God's Word, and it is absolutely true. As we think about this thought, if the Bible is absolute truth, we also have to realize that we don't always have to listen to all absolute truth. Sometimes when we see truth, we have a choice to ignore it. We have a choice to do whatever we want. Some decisions, it doesn't matter. There was something floating around Facebook several weeks ago, maybe even months ago, a picture of a dress. Now, if you have been online at all in the last 2 months, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a picture, and I'm absolutely sure, of a blue dress with black stripes. That's what the picture is. Now, if you are on Facebook and you look at this dress, all three women in my family are convinced that it is a white dress with gold stripes on it. And they are absolutely wrong, right? Absolutely. It's one of these strange things. Half the population sees blue and black. Half the population sees white and gold. Only one person is right. But here's the thing about that truth. That truth really doesn't matter, does it? Has no authority in our lives. If the dress is blue and black, or if it's white and gold, if it's purple and yellow, what does it matter to us? Some truth doesn't matter, right? Some truth ultimately is just true whether we care about it or not. The Bible is absolute truth. We also have to recognize the Bible is authoritative. It has meaning. It matters. The Bible is authoritative. 2 Timothy verse 3:16, one of the clearest passages on the Bible, says this: all Scripture is inspired by God, it's God's Word, and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. In other words, the Bible is true, has a purpose. It is authoritative to us. Profitable for these things, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. What are these four things it's useful for? One, it teaches us. It tells us what's right from wrong. But secondly, it says it's profitable for rebuking. In other words, it teaches us right from wrong, and then also tells us when we do what's wrong. The Bible makes it clear, this is right, this is wrong, don't do what's wrong. The Bible is very useful and profitable for this. It has authority to rebuke us. It says, then it is therefore correcting us. It teaches us right from wrong. It rebukes us when we do wrong. And then it tells us how to correct our problems. The Bible is useful for correcting our wrong behavior. And then fourthly, it is useful for training us. Training us so that we don't have to fall trap to that false teaching again. It changes the way we think, it changes the way we act, and it changes how we live so that we don't have to continue down the wrong path. The Bible then is authoritative to tell us how to live. Ultimately, it tells us what is right and wrong. It tells us that we do wrong, and it tells us that we can correct that problem through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then it trains us how to live a right life so that we no longer have to go down a road on our own authority. The Bible is authoritative. It tells us what to do. Can you be a Christian and reject the authority of the Bible? There's a pastor. I believe he's a Presbyterian pastor, but that could be mistaken. If you Google the word atheist pastor, you'll find all sorts of articles about him. He is a practicing pastor. He is full-time on staff at a church, and he is a self-proclaimed atheist. He doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Our minds have developed this need for something else. And so in our own minds, religion gives us great comfort. It gives us great assurance. And it is a good thing, not because there is a God, but because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And he teaches then, and he preaches everything the Bible has to say because it makes people feel better. The statement in the article I read about this man, which floors me, is when he says, "It really bothers me when people say I'm not a true Christian." I started thinking about that statement, and I started wondering what about his belief makes him a Christian. Because if you the authority of the Word of God, then you reject everything our Christian faith stands on. There is no possible way you can be a Christian and reject the Bible. Its authority has to permeate our lives. We have to align our lives with its teachings. I'm thankful that we serve a church that believes the Bible is God's Word. But can I tell you, every single one of us struggles with this statement. We struggle with the statement, the Bible is authoritative. We struggle with it on a daily basis. We believe it to be absolute truth, but when it comes to living our own lives, every sin we commit challenges the authority of God's Word. Every time we turn away, it in effect screams out, "My way is better than your way." And while we will make the statement the Bible is authoritative, the question is not do we believe it, but do we live it? Do we act as if the Bible is authoritative in our lives? Do we act as if it knows better than we know? The Bible is authoritative. The Bible is absolute truth. And thirdly, we see the Bible is applicable today. It is relevant even here and now. Not just those last 27 books on the right-hand side of the Testament divider, but all the way from Genesis through Revelation, it applies to our lives today. Let's look again at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and effective. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as a separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." The Bible, it says, is penetrating. The Bible pierces us. When we read the Word of God, it ought to cause us to question whether or not we are living according to its truths, whether or not we are following what God calls us to do. It should cause us to say, not what does this mean to me, but just what does it mean and how do I apply it to my everyday life? The Bible is applicable today. We have to align our lives with God's Word. The application then, "I believe the Bible is God's Word," is do we apply it to our lives? Do we trust in the authority of God's Word? Do we believe that it is absolute truth? And do we let it change our lives? The Bible means absolute nothingness, nothing to us, if we don't do anything with it. What it says, I will believe, and how it tells me to live, I will live. This statement is the basis for all of our other beliefs. All of the other five messages in this series come back to this statement. I believe the Bible is God's Word. I believe that it teaches all of these other things, and I am willing to trust fully and immerse my life in doing what it says. this morning, maybe you have a problem with the authoritative nature of God's Word. Maybe you have a problem submitting to what God wants in your life. Maybe you're sitting there questioning, am I really, truly supposed to just give myself over to this book? And I would ask you to pray diligently. Lord, if the Bible is Your Word, if I believe the Bible is Your Word, help me to have the strength to follow through with what it tells me to do. It begins with submission to salvation. Lord, I submit myself to You. It continues with being plugged into a faithful church family and being discipled. Lord, I will grow in my faith. And then it branches out and says, I will serve those around me. I will share my faith and I will be involved doing what God has called me to do. Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? And are you willing to submit this morning? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank You. I thank You that You've not hidden Your Word from us. I thank You that You have told us what truth is, that You have revealed it to us. We don't have to go looking for it. We don't have to hide or find it as if it's hidden, but we have it right in front of us. Lord, this morning I pray that we don't just speak these words, I believe the Bible is God's Word. Instead, Lord, I pray that we would live it. Lord, I confess to You that I, like everybody ever created, struggles with living out Your Word. Lord, I struggle with Your Word being authoritative because I want my own life to be authoritative. But I know that Your Word is truth. I know that it has authority in my life. And I know that it matters today. Lord, I pray that You would help shape my heart to follow Your Word and be in line with Your will. Lord, we love You and we thank You for giving us Your truth. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.